Thank you, Chair. I'd like to refer committee members firstly to item 8 of the schedule. And the question I'm addressing now is the question of the absence of the affected members and whether or not circumstances are such that the committee may proceed in their absence. Item 8 says, if after receiving the notice the member fails without just cause to attend the hearing, the committee may proceed in the absence of the member. What we have are attorneys of record of the affected members who have indicated that for the purposes of being attorneys of record, they are the mouthpiece of the affected members. They are here, and I think the committee should request the attorneys of record to address the issue of the absence of the affected members so that the committee may arrive at whether or not that absence is without just cause. So that's my advice in relation to dealing with their absence here and how the committee proceeds in relation to that absence. The second issue relates to the question of legal representation. It's clear from the reading of the schedule that there is no automatic right to legal representation, and that legal representation must be requested. My interpretation of legal representation for the purposes of these proceedings, I'm not talking about attorneys of record. There's nothing wrong with people having attorneys of record. But legal assistance here at these proceedings, there's no automatic right to. And item 1 states that a member in these proceedings may either be assisted by another member of parliament, or the committee may allow legal representation by a person who is not a member of parliament to assist that affected member. Legal representation by a person who is not a member of parliament, for me, my reading of it, given the provisions of item 3, takes us to outside legal representation. And so, outside legal representation, which is legal representation by a person who is not a member, specifically is dealt with in item 3. And there, it says that in complex cases or cases involving complicated evidence and legal issues, and where the committee is of the view that such legal representation might be essential for a fair hearing, the committee may allow. So legal representation, external legal representation must be requested by the affected member, and that request must address the complexity of the case, the complicated evidence and legal issues that arise for that affected member in that case, so that the committee may form a view that the matter is sufficiently complex that legal representation is essential for a fair hearing. My advice then to the committee is that the committee should, if the committee agrees with my reading of item 1 together with item 3, specifically advise the attorneys of record that if they wish to make a request for a legal to assist affected members at this hearing, then they should do so alive to items 1 and 3 read together. If the attorneys of record present take up that invitation and do so, the committee should go away and deliberate in committee on that issue. Make a decision, return, and take the process forward. But the committee must hear one the attorneys of record on both issues.
Okay. We have been advised, honourable members, the advice that we've adjourned so that we can receive. Are we fine with the address?
Yes.
that we proceed as advised. I'm going to only take those who disagree with what has been advised. All right, Honorable Close.
Yes, I'm going to request that there must be sensitivity to the usage of terms from the initiator. When you read a schedule, read what's written. And that's why I read it earlier on. Honorable Chair, with the greatest respect. The schedule says a member may request, not apply. Request. And it doesn't say how that request must be made. It doesn't. So it says not apply, may request. I'm reading.
Okay.
And so on page 603,
let me,
the final thing, Chair.
Let me, please allow me to prevail on you.
Okay.
So that we don't get into that issue. Let's allow, because you are not fundamentally opposed to what she was advising on. One, for us to allow the legal representative who are here to address us on the whereabouts of the members. You agree with that? It's a request that you yourself has made. So we have been advised that we should allow that. Two, to indicate whether they wish to make that submission on behalf of the members. So let's allow them, and then you'll come back to argue what is in the schedule. You are a committee.
Okay. I'm not, Chair, I agree. Let me retreat. But to simply point out that a request, Honorable Members, was given to us on page 603.
Okay, let's...
I'm saying that these members have complied.
Yes, but Honorable
Members,
allow me please to proceed, to allow the meeting to proceed, and to request the legal representative to introduce themselves and to address us.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. My name is Camille Premid. I'm a member of the Johannesburg Bar, and I'm instructed by Ms. Cheryl Lombos, who sits behind me, on behalf of Ian Levitt Attorney, and I represent Honorable Peters in answer to an earlier point made by you on page 602 of your bundle that you have in front of you, the listed individuals who are the charged members of Parliament. Honourable Chair, before I address your specific points, may I firstly say thank you very much for the indulgence of yesterday. It was not a pleasant thing to think that one might have COVID, and I'm happy to say that I don't have COVID, and we're obviously very grateful to the Minister of Health and his team in their absence for the efforts that they are making to lead us through this crisis. The second point I just want to make, Honourable Chair, with respect to the debate that has unfolded in front of you and your committee with respect regarding our presence in front of you today and whether a application was made or not made for legal representatives, I'd like to take your committee, if I may, to 5 points in the record to demonstrate to you and your committee chair that an application was in fact made, and that an answer was equivocal at best, and at worst was not actually given by the Secretary of Parliament to that application. And the reason I have to address that, Chair, if you will allow me to do so, is because I cannot give you the explanation required under the schedule to the rules regarding the just cause for the whereabouts of my clients not being here without properly being before you. I don't have any right of audience in front of you unless you accept that I'm the legal representative of the named individual. That's what your rules with respect say. And so I want to demonstrate to you how this happens. The first point I'd like the committee to have regard to is page 602, which I referred the Honourable Peters to a short while ago, through you, Chair, obviously. As you will see at the top of page 602, it says the Powers and Privileges Committee of the National Assembly. In other words, that letter was addressed to you as the committee, care of the Acting Secretary to Parliament, with her email address. So in other words, we're not engaging the Secretary of Parliament as the decision maker. We're engaging her in her secretarial capacity to you as the committee. We then, on the next page, at page 603 of the record, at paragraph 7, ask, please also confirm that our firm being Ms. Cheryl Lombos of Ian Levitt's attorney, together with our counsel, will be able to represent our client at any such physical hearing, should it go ahead, subject to what is stated hereunder. We will provide you with the name of our client's legal team upon such confirmation. So I just want to point out that on the 11th of November, when Ian Levitt's attorneys come on record, and again, I'm going through you, Chair, I'm going to refer to the Honourable Peters again, because I think her summary was actually spot on. When Ian Levitt's attorney comes on record to engage regarding the process, they simultaneously in paragraph 7 say, can we and our external legal counsel act on behalf of the named individual in front of you as the committee, should any such hearings go ahead? That's the first point. The second point I want to ask the committee to turn to, if they would please, is page 606 of the record. Page 606 of the record is a letter from the Secretary of Parliament. It begins on the previous page, on page 605, and it's not dated, but the date of that letter is the 12th of November 2020, so in other words, it comes through the next day. At paragraph 7 of that letter, after, in paragraph 5 and 6, the Secretary of Parliament discusses item 1 of the schedule, she goes on to say this, in light of these provisions, therefore, and should your clients wish to be legally represented at the hearings by a person who is not a Member of Parliament, your clients are required to address a request, and I emphasize that point, a request to the committee in this regard. No indication is given of the application, whether it's in writing, whether it's orally, when it's to be done, and so on. So the point is twofold, Chair. At this point, on the 12th of November, paragraph 7 of the Acting Secretary's letter ignores the content of paragraph 7 of the EFF Attorneys of Record letter of the previous day. On the 11th of November, at paragraph 7, on page 603, the EFF attorneys of record, who are not yet acknowledged as the legal representatives in this committee, say to you, please confirm, and when I say you, I mean the Secretary of Parliament, Acting Secretary of Parliament, please confirm that we can act on behalf of the named individual. But then the reply in paragraph 67 at page 606 is as though that request was never made. And with respect, that is not left to lie by the EFF's representatives. Because if the committee turns over further to page 612 of the bundle, at paragraph 24, this is a letter, as an aside, and for the benefit of the committee's knowledge, this is a letter dated the 13th of November 2020 from the EFF's attorneys of record. And that is in response to the letter that I've just read from, which is from the 12th of November. At paragraph 24, the EFF's attorney says this. They say, as the charge sheet makes clear, our clients are free to obtain legal advice regarding the charges against them at their own cost. This applies regardless of whether our clients will be represented by external legal representatives at the envisaged hearing. And I need the committee with respect to please read further down at paragraph 25, 26, and 27 of that same letter. Because in paragraph 26 of that letter, what it says, as your letter makes clear, those hearings may not materialize depending on the committee's decision allegedly to be taken in respect of our client's written representations. And then in 26, this constitutes grossly prejudicial burden because our clients need to go through the expense of preparing for hearings that may not materialize. This is unfair. And very importantly for this committee, lastly and relatedly, we point out that our clients cannot yet apply to the committee to be represented at the hearing when no decision has allegedly been taken to hold the hearing. Now that's a lot of information, Chair, but I want to make two very simple points about this, if I may. The content of paras 24, 25, and 26 is in response to something said by the Secretary of Parliament. And that is said by the Secretary of Parliament, if the committee will turn back to pages 605, at para 3 of her letter. This is the same letter I discussed from the 12th of November, where she says in paragraph 3 at page 605, and this is crucially important for the committee to understand, whether or not the hearings proceed against any member charge after the receipt of such written representations by the committee is dependent on the content of the representation made by the particular member. In short, therefore, the hearing may, and I emphasize that word, may indeed proceed after the receipt of such written representation. So the point is, Chair, if we look at what is said by the Secretary at page 605 in paragraph 3, side by side with what is said in page 612 by the EFF's attorneys of record, at paragraph 24, 25, and 26, the point is this. Why are you telling us to make a request to the committee to be represented at hearings in circumstances where what you've told us in paragraph 3 in your letter is that those hearings might not go ahead in any event? Let's forget for the moment that on the 11th of November, page 603 of the record, paragraph 7, that request was already made. The point is that the Secretary to Parliament tells us on the 12th that hearings may not go ahead. So we say, with respect, quite legitimately, we cannot then ask the committee in advance to give us this in circumstances where our request may be redundant because the committee may decide not to proceed with those hearings. So, in other words, the point is made that the request is persisted with, and the request is made first on the 11th, then it's reiterated on the 13th, and then lastly at page 628, this is the Secretary of Parliament's letter from the 19th of November in response to a long letter from the EFF. She, the Secretary of Parliament, says this at page 628, paragraph 5A, about halfway down. Instead, you insist on behalf of your clients in engaging me in lengthy letters wherein you raise repetitive and argumentative issues that ought properly to be placed before the committee that is seized with this process and to which your clients are entitled to make representations but fail to do so. She then goes on to say that this is apparently a strategy to delay the proceedings, which with respect we disagree with, but that's not important. And then this is very curious. At 5B on the same page, she says, as far as I am aware, your clients have not addressed a request to the committee regarding external legal representation. But with respect, that's wrong. Because the very first point I made to you is that at page 603 in paragraph 7, which is on the 11th of November, the request was made. But then the secretary goes on to say this. She goes on to say, once again, instead of doing so in the interest of your clients, you pursue this correspondence with me requiring me to respond to issues which ought properly to be placed before the committee for its consideration or pursued in an appropriate forum. With respect, Chair, we cannot be blamed with the EFF that the correspondence is only being made available to the committee at the 11th hour in which our request for representation was made. That's the first point. But the second point, and more importantly, is the Secretary to Parliament says, come to the committee and make the argument as to why you should be here. And Chair, we've been here from the morning, and the committee has debated the issue among itself. But hopefully now the paper trail puts rest to the issue that the request was properly made, and that we requested authorization to be here, and unfortunately we were given a cat and mouse game by the Secretary to Parliament. And I say that with the greatest of respect. That's my right to be here. But with respect to the just cause as to why our clients are not here emanates from our letter, which can be found in the bundle, if you would give me a moment, which can be found starting at page page 619, it's a letter of the year from the EFF's Attorneys of Record, dated 18 November 2020. And the paragraph in particular I want to draw to the committee's attention is at page 625, which is the demand. Now, I know there's debate about the automatic demand versus the request. The point is that the paper demonstrates that the request was made on the 11th of November. By this stage, things are getting serious, because this letter, starting at page 619, and which runs on for nearly 8 pages, details numerous instances of procedural complaints that affect the fair trial rights of our clients in this hearing, and then also address issues of substance. And with respect, what we're then told by the Secretary of Parliament is what I've read to you already at page 628. She says, you must say this to the committee, don't say it to me. So, I don't want to talk about horses having bolted. Maybe I can talk about being caught between a rock and a hard place. On one hand, we're told by the Secretary to Parliament, come here and argue in front of the committee, which we do, and with the committee's indulgence a day later. And then when we come in front of the committee to try and justify or explain, we're not entertained by the committee, because with respect to the correct position, as reflected by the record, is being misrepresented as to what happened from the 11th of November and how that request has been dealt with. So, with respect to the committee, the request is here. It's on page 103, paragraph 7, 11 November, the first day that the EFF's Attorneys of Record come on board. They say, please confirm this for us. And with respect, my learned friend, the initiator, Ms. Mayorsi, says that the request must have regard to complexity and all those kinds of things. With respect, Chair, that puts form above substance. Right from the very beginning, the EFF Attorneys of Record are dealing with complex legal issues that affect our clients' fair trial rights. That's a serious matter of legal complexity. It would be intolerable with respect if the matter was determined without the EFF being legally represented. And that also speaks, by the way, to why our clients are not present today and the just cause for their absence. Because this hearing, if it continues, and I say this with the deepest of respect, in the way that it is unfolding in front of the committee, it would be a gross procedural and substantive unlawfulness committed against our clients, and our clients in those circumstances would have to consider their rights about taking Parliament on review for the conduct that has been catalogued in the letters to date. So those are our submissions.
Okay. We have listened to you, I still have not really gotten an answer to the question, where are they? They are not here because they don't want to... can you please address us on why the church members are not here? I think the first point you dealt with sufficiently, that there was an intention and there was a request. But the second one, can you again address us on that question?
Chair,
why the members are not here?
Thank you, Chair. Chair, the full explanation as to why our clients cannot participate in these proceedings as they are currently being conducted is in the letter of the 18th of November 2020, which appears in the committee's record bundle at page 619. I'm not going to read the letter with respect, but what I would commend to the committee is to have regard to the procedural and substantive complaints and why our clients with respect cannot legitimate an unlawful process that is unfolding against them by participating in such proceedings. My role here today is to object to the proceedings as they are continuing, having regard to the content of the letter, and that's the reason why our clients are not here today.
Okay. I've heard you there. Were you raising a hand, Honorable Chris? I saw, I thought you wanted to add. No, I saw Father Lighthouse. Okay, I think I heard you. They have elected not to come. I think it's a deliberate. They are not here because of the reasons which I explained in the letter. I think that's the point that you are making. Okay. Maybe let's give Honorable Mayusin to advocate Mayusin. My apologies to comment on what the council for the church member has said, and then I think we will then open it up to the committee to deliberate and take a decision.
Chair, if the committee considers the correspondence from the attorneys of record to be a sufficient request for legal representation, then the committee must do so and deliberate on the issue as it stands on the paper. One, and two, before the committee goes into committee, as it were, to deliberate, I would ask the chair to just request the attorneys, the legal representatives present, because they had intimated quite expressly their intention to submit written representations, which have not been submitted, and just to clarify whether oral submissions are going to be made, because they're entitled to at the hearing, so that when the committee deliberates, the committee deliberates on both issues.
Well, what I understand them to be saying is that the written representation is on page 619. From 619 up to 626. That's my understanding of what was submitted. That the members charged are not here for the reasons which are contained in the letter from 619 up to 626.
I think that position perhaps needs clarification, Chair, because from what I understood, the letter seemed to be used as justification that a request has been made. But I think the committee just needs to be clear on the question of representation.
Okay. All right, I've noted the hand. I'm going to allow you
to make order, maybe, Chair.
All right, point of order?
Yeah. Let's not mix our roles. The initiator must speak. He argues, the initiator must argue back. She does not represent the committee. We're here. So there's a case that has been made and argued. We want to hear her response, if she has. So she must deal with the fact that a legal representation request has been made and evidence was led to that effect.
Okay.
So that does,
I think maybe you are taking over my role.
That's why this is
exactly what I'm doing. Okay. The first point, the committee will deal with it. That's why I said the legal rep counsel has made a submission as indicated that intention was there, the request was made. So the committee will deal with that. That's the first point. The second issue, the initiator is saying that there was an intention to make a presentation. And I was saying that according to my reading and what I've heard is that 619 to 626 gives an explanation why the members church don't want to participate in the process. It's there, it's detailed in the letter. And there's the reason why they are not here. So that can be accepted as a representation to the committee. So, but that's why I wanted just clarification so that we can then deliberate.
Yeah. Thank you, Chair. I agree with everything you said except your concluding remark. The letter that begins, as you mentioned, from 619 is the objections recorded by our client as to the legal validity of this process and which justifies why they are not here in front of you today. That speaks to the threshold of just cause as set out in the schedule. That's the explanation as to the absence. That's the first point. The second point, Chair, with respect, is that those representations in that letter cannot be transformed into the written representations in terms of the charge sheet. Those are two separate things. And I want to give you, with respect, Chair, a reference in the record. At page 613...
Okay. Just repeat that. So this is an objection to the hearing proceeding.
Correct, Chair.
Okay.
619, so letter 619.
All right, representations.
The representation, I want to give you a record in the a reference in the record. Beginning at page 608 is a letter addressed by our attorneys of record, the EFF attorneys of record, to the Secretary of Parliament. And the point is made in respect of 613, on page 613, at paragraph 6. Where the point is made, we further advise you and the committee that the content of your answers may have a material impact on our client's ability to file their written representations by the extended deadline. The point I'm making to you, Chair, is that you don't have written representations to the merits of the charge, and the reason for that is because of the level of inadequacy of the answers provided to the questions raised in the letters. That's the first point. And the second point is that our clients in the premises cannot answer the charges on the merits because the way in which the hearing is being conducted against them is unlawful in our client's view. And to answer the merits of your charges in written representation would amount to legitimating an unlawful process. And that's why our clients have at this point not put in written representation.
Okay, what is the unlawful part of the hearing?
Chair, I refer you to the letter beginning at page 619, which sets out chapter and verse, the EFF's procedural complaint and substantive complaint. And I want to perhaps highlight for your benefit, Chair, is that in respect of the demand that was made by the EFF client for these hearings to continue, our clients have not sought to delay things unnecessarily. Our clients have sought certain safeguards to ensure that any process unfolded against them is independent, impartial, free and fair, and is not the subject of perhaps political interference. And our demand at page 625 of the record, paragraph 313 in particular, and the subparagraph thereto, set out what our clients would respect, submit would be an adequate process for our clients to come and answer the charges. So what I'm saying, Chair, is that the way in which the hearing is presently being conducted, in our client's view, amounts to an unlawful act. Our client cannot file charges on the merit because that would legitimate the unlawful act. And what the effect of the letter, beginning at 619, says, is we will not legitimate this process unless these adequate safeguards addressed on 625 at paragraph 313. Appropriately addressed. I hope that provides clarity.
Yeah, no, I think it does. To me, I think you set out your arguments. So I am, and I'm sure Advocate Mayosi was listening because I would like her to address us on those issues. The request, I think, is fine. The committee will deal with that. So if Advocate Myers can address us on the submission that this hearing, if it continues to be doing so unlawfully, so we're not properly constituted to proceed. So I would like
Advocate Myers to address that aspect so that the committee can then deliberate. With the issue of written representation, we've heard that cannot be done because they don't want to participate in a process that they think is unlawful. So if can be addressed on that so that the committee can then deliberate. Thank you. Honourable Advocate Myers.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I'm really not certain as to how far to take an argument that the proceedings are proceeding unfairly, because as I mentioned or alluded to yesterday, the establishment of this committee and its powers is in terms of Section 12 of the Powers and Privileges and Immunities Act. And this committee, in doing the business that it is doing here, is performing powers that are located within that section. That section must, of course, be read together with what has occurred, which is that an incident is said to have occurred on a certain date. The Speaker referred to the incident for investigation, and ultimately that incident was referred to this committee as Section 12 requires. And this committee, once an incident of this nature is referred to, it is entitled to investigate it and make findings on it in respect of a procedure which it has defined for itself. That procedure is the procedure that is set out in the schedule. That is the basis upon which, so far, these proceedings have occurred. So I'm not certain how far to take this argument of the illegality of the proceedings. The affected members have, of course, threatened to go to court in relation to that issue, and that threat has not materialized. My response to that issue is that this committee is exercising powers in terms of the Powers and Privileges Act that it has in terms of Section 12, and it is performing an investigation that it is empowered to do in accordance with the procedure that is set out in the schedule.
Okay, and then I guess the demands are made to the committee, so the committee will deal with the demand. Is that how it is? So there are demands that the hearings are to be conducted by a retired judge or practicing senior counsel, and all of that. I think that's the main demand. So, members, I think we have listened to both sides. We have listened to the counsel for the members who are charged. We have listened to Advocate Mayosi, the initiator, and now we can deliberate. There was a request that we should do that in committee. I think members can also indicate whether we should do that in committee or whether we can do it in an open forum like this one. But the issues are one, there is a request which the committee must apply itself to. Two, there is an objection that has been raised to this hearings continuing. So the committee must then listen to that objection or consider the objection, because we've listened to it, been raised here. And the reasons are contained in the letter on 619. And then take a decision whether we proceed, whether we think that this inquiry is or these hearings are properly constituted and we can proceed as per the Powers and Privileges Act and the schedule, or whether we agree that we should accept the demands that there must be a retired judge or senior counsel, or an independent person to preside over this matter. So I'm going to take members to deliberate on those questions. But as you know, members, we have been appointed. This committee has been constituted by the House as per the Act of Parliament that makes provision for the establishment of this committee. That's why we have been appointed. And we are following the rules, and the schedule is there to the rules that guides how we should do our work. And so let's deliberate on those questions and take a decision. I don't want to start, but I want to listen to the members and then to finally decide. I'm not sure there was a request for in committee. I don't think there's not anything seriously confidential that will be discussed. So we can deliberate, make our points. The question is whether we proceed or we don't proceed, in simple terms. So I'm going to take hands, and then from there we will then make a ruling from here based on your submissions, members. Okay, I've seen the Honourable Maluleka and then Honourable Dikhang. Did you raise your hand, Honourable? Okay. Honourable Maluleka.
Chairperson, thank you very much. And maybe to say we had the argument, but myself on the issue of the legal representation, I had the question, even though I don't want to take you back because you said maybe we need to consider it. But if you check on page 603, the letter that was written by the firm, number 7, it says please confirm, meaning I'm not sure whether it's an application for the request for legal representation. If they say it is just a question, please confirm. And I have not seen a response from our acting secretary representing us or on our behalf to say they confirm that they have given them or adhered to their request for legal representation. I'm not clear about that one, if I can get clarity on that one. But on the issue of us continuing, Chairperson, I think because of the committee, we are not here in a court of law. We are a committee to investigate an incident that happened on the 11th of July, 2019. And for the charged members to have a conceived idea to say that maybe they are going to be prejudged or maybe there's not going to be a fair hearing on them, even if the hearing has not yet started. I'm not sure whether it is the correct way for them to engage us on that thing, because if they were here and they feel that as a community we are not treating them fairly, then they would have a leg to stand on to say maybe we are not treating them fairly. But now they are just outside there, but they have concluded that as a community we are not going to treat them fairly, even though the hearing has not started. So I think, Chairperson, we need to do our responsibility as the elected committee we continue with the hearing. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thank you very much. I think on the issue of representation, I think it's quite clear that the request was made, the intention was there. It might have been an interpretation whether there is an official application, official request, but I think the intention has been there, the fact that there has been corresponding. So for me, I don't think it's a difficult issue for the committee to accept that we can grant legal representation. For me, it's not a difficult thing. We can agree, unless if members have got an issue about the fact that the matter is not complex, it doesn't need legal representation. But for me, the request, even as it was put here today, the request was there, so we should accept it. And then maybe let's just deal with whether we proceed or we don't proceed. But Honorable Maluleka says, let's proceed. This committee has been properly constituted in line with the Powers and Privileges Act and appointed by the National Assembly, so let it proceed until probably when there is a challenge to the Act and all of that, and then another procedure can then be followed. But legally, we are properly constituted as per argument of Honorable Maluleka. So let me hear others on that point. Maybe just deal with the first one quickly. The first one has been resolved, I think. The second one, Honorable Stop, whether we proceed or not.
Okay. Now, thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Firstly, I would like to support the proposal made by Honorable Maluleka, that we are a properly constituted committee of parliament in terms of the rules. So there's nothing wrong there. So I would like to support the proposal that we must proceed with this. And then secondly, I'm persuaded with the submission from the Council of the affected members in terms of the intention that was declared or demonstrated from the exchange of communication between the lawyers, the parliament, and the initiator, and all of that. That will also, as a committee, grant them legal representation. Thanks.
Thanks, Chairperson. No, I'm agreed to the first point. A request for legal representation was made. There are no grounds for us to think otherwise. If you think otherwise, you must leave evidence to that effect. So there are no grounds. The legal representations are correctly in front of us. The second matter, Honorable Chairperson, I thought the initiator was going to deal with what is written here. I have a bit of a problem. I'm trying to hold myself. There are substantial issues raised in the letter. So if I start speaking, you're going to say it's not my place. So her response is, no, we are properly constituted, let's move on. There's a 9-page letter, or I don't know what's the number of pages, let me see. But there are 30... ...39 points made with subsections. The initiator has not responded. It's an application that must be responded to. Like, it's a, and
So the concept they are using is fair trial right. Let's couple it like that. There's an application about the fact that the trial will not be fair. So in our response we say no, we are constituted in terms of the powers and privileges committee, so we are fine. That's not the response to fair trial right. I don't know, Chairperson, you have to assist me. Should I, because I then have to deal myself directly with what is being said in the letter which amounts to the theme of fair trial right. And I may speak for long. But ordinarily that should have been something led by text. But the EFF is saying 1 and 2 and 3. These are our responses as the prosecutor. So at this stage, if you ask me on the basis of what we have in front of us, we don't have a response from the initiator. And based on the response that we have here, based on the submissions that we have here, we don't have the initiator as a response with an adequate. Then we have a huge thing here, the argument. There's no good way to counter these arguments. We must go and constitute a proper trial. In terms of these demands, they are not unreasonable demands. She has not said why they must not be granted these demands. No one has led that argument. So my view is, yes, indeed, let's adjourn to grant the affected member of the fair trial in terms of these demands. Majority of us here are conflicted by virtue of not only being colleagues of these people, but by virtue of being politically aligned. I cannot hold a fair trial as a judge for President Ramaphosa. I will ask an independent judge to listen to him, because that judge will be fair. I've got political conflict. I'm conflicted. In terms of the laws of natural justice, that is a substantial thing. Can I listen to EFF members as an ANC or a DA member saying, am I not conflicted? If they say to me, I want to explain myself, but I think you are conflicted, you won't listen to me. What's wrong with me getting a senior counsel or a judge to listen to them? In terms of the Act gives us a right to constitute internal proceedings. Why not grant them a judge? Then ask the judge to advise me. It's a fair demand. Second demand, it's those things, I think it's the confusion that was caused by the secretary. And then the postponement, yes, I agree. Since we are going to give them a judge, let's postpone. And then at that hearing in front of a sober, independent judge, let us allow them legal representation. That will be a fair trial. One of the reasons that they are advancing, which I think is important to also mention, is point number 310 in their letter on 624, page 624. They've got grounds to say they are being targeted. Because if you study their charge sheet, they are charged for crossing the floor. And these people they are naming here also cross the floor, but they are not charged. So the idea that, okay, I hear you, I crossed the floor, I want to justify myself and all of that, but how come you charged us only as the EFF? It's a matter that is tabled here in front of us, which complicates and gives validity to the suspicion of political targeting.
Because the church, she said, you violated the rules, you're in contempt because you crossed the floor. And that crossing of the floor disrupted proceedings. So in the video there, it's not just a red overall. There's Fish Masalera, Honorable Natasha Mazoni was also standing there. She went to cross the floor. According to even the evidence of the chairperson on that day. The fair point,
summarized.
So I'm saying that, firstly, on the basis that as honorable members, we are conflicted. We cannot, if a person that we want to prosecute says we are conflicted, it is the truth, indeed we are. So let's get them an independent judge or an independent senior counsel to listen to their case, and then they give us the report or a judgment. That's fair. Even like companies that are not busy with, we are lawgivers, we are lawmakers, we should know the law. But even a company that is busy collecting gold from the belly of the earth knows that it can get somebody from outside to come and be a judge or a chairperson in a hearing of workers, a disciplinary hearing of workers, because they know they are conflicted. None of us sitting here can say that we are not conflicted. On those basis, Honorable Chairperson, I think these demands are fair. Let's grant these honorable members a fair trial. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. So the end of Honorable Rodrick. I think the first point has been agreed to. So it was not automatic. It was a request, we agreed to it, of legal representation. So maybe let's not continue with that one. That one has been sorted. Let's deal with the whether these proceedings are illegal. Honorable.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Yes, I'd like to address the second point that is now on the table. And I firstly want to state that I find it very concerning that the composition, the existence, the function, role of this particular committee is now being challenged. This is done in terms, it is established in terms of the rules of the House as well as the Powers and Privileges Act, and I think the initiator also referred to that. And I do find it worrying that the actual existence and function and legality of this particular committee is now for the first time being challenged by a member of the committee. As we sit here, we are here as members of Parliament.
Point of order,
the integrity of Parliament.
Let's listen to the point of order.
I am not challenging the legality and the constitution of the committee. You opened the conversation about the submission of the two. The members that are charged are the ones that are due, not me.
Okay, Honorable.
I'm responding to that, so please,
yeah, but
you must protect
it's
me.
Not a point of order.
No, it's a point of order that you must protect me.
It's a disagreement with the point that she's raising.
She's saying I'm challenging the legality. I'm not. It's a submission that I've made.
You differ with what she's saying, but it's not that I'm not the
okay,
submission.
She's lying.
Out of order. No, you can't say she's lying.
But it's an untruth, Jefferson. And you have the duty to protect me.
But Honorable Bruce, you know we've been proceeding well up to so far.
I'm entertaining what has been given to us. Don't target me, because I'm going to respond if you tell me.
No, but you're saying something that you know yourself that is unparliamentary.
I'm saying protect me, Jefferson. I withdraw lying. But she is incorrect. And you have the duty to protect me as a member of this committee.
Okay, allow her to complete.
Can I just put it, if a person targets me and you don't protect me, I'm going to have to protect myself, Chairperson. I've been called out by other members, you've prevailed on me, and I've been disciplined. A person says, me, I'm at this stage, I'm challenging the legality of the... I'm not. We've been given a bundle, didn't you leave?
Okay, Honorable Josie, if you want to take a second bite, you come back. But please withdraw that unparliamentary word that you use.
Lying. She is not lying.
I
withdraw that she is lying.
All right. Let's proceed, Honorable Lottrick.
Thank you, Chairperson, and I do want to state also that I do not refer to the Honorable Ndlozi as he, but to the Honorable Ndlozi. Furthermore, Chairperson, I find it also worrying that points are being raised in this committee that members are conflicted, that members will be partisan. Those are casting aspersions on the integrity of the members of this committee. And I feel very uncomfortable with that, because we, as members of this committee, have a function to preserve the integrity of Parliament and its members. And therefore, I would want to concur with the previous member that we proceed, because we act within the Act as well as the rules of this House agreed to by the House. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Honorable Second, I saw your hand up, or you wanted to call order. Okay. Any other submission? None. Well, I think the majority of the members are saying that we must proceed with the hearing, and that this committee is properly constituted in terms of that Act, Powers and Privileges Act, and in terms of the rules of Parliament. And therefore, the committee does not accept the demand that there must be a retired judge. That is the other demand. And or a practicing senior counsel. Because by doing that, it will then mean that the hearings are not conducted in line with the requirements of the Act. And if there is an objection to how the Act prescribes that this kind of processes has to be entertained, and I think the church members are entitled, they are well within their right to approach the court to set aside those provisions in the Act that allows us to continue as we are as a committee. But for now, those provisions in the Act have not been set aside, and they are legally binding, and we have been appointed in terms of those provisions and in line with the rules of Parliament. And so if there is any other argument, I think it can then be presented to court, and then the court can then stop the proceedings. So that is the view of the committee, that we are proceeding with a hearing for those reasons. And I think if it is required, those reasons can be properly set out. We can read the proper ruling on this matter tomorrow if it's necessary. But basically the crux of it is that the committee is proceeding because the committee is of the view that this these proceedings are properly constituted, they are lawful. But now we are now faced with the reality that those members are not here. I think, what time is it now? Okay, it's 12:45. So I think that we have to be addressed on what rule is that? About attendance of a church member. Yeah, no, I'll recognize you. Let me just ask that we must be addressed on the issue of just cause, because the legal representative have argued that the fact that they've raised an objection that this is an unlawful process makes it a just cause for those members not to be here. So maybe let's be addressed so that we can then consider that and proceed. But the hearings are proceeding as we have agreed. Honorable Glory.
No, sir, I wanted to go on record that I disagree. I know you're calling the ruling.
But it's a decision of the committee.
Oh, yes. Can I go on record that I disagree with that decision? And I desire, with your indulgence, for it to be stated that it's not the problem of the Act. The Act actually gives us space on how to constitute proceedings. It says we can decide as Parliament. It is a problem of our rules that has been brought to our attention. I just want to make that clear that I disagree with your ruling. I mean, with the decision, both in terms of its content and in terms of its form. Thank you.
All right. So you want to address us on the issue of the just cause?
Chair, actually, I wanted to just give some form of comfort to the committee on precisely the point that is raised by the Honourable Mclosi in relation to the composition of this committee. He is in fact correct, as I referred to before, that the Act constitutes this committee, and then the rules themselves, in terms of the composition of this committee, Rule 154, states how committees, including this committee, may be composed. But the same argument was raised by members of the ESF in the Western Cape High Court in the 2014 disciplinary process, which was an argument to the effect that there would be bias in the proceedings, or there was bias in the proceedings because of the composition of the committee, and the High Court there was not convinced of that argument. And Judge Lawler in paragraph 23 said, I can perceive no basis for the claim that the composition of the committee is biased, unfair or unreasonable. I remain undecided in this regard. The fact is that Parliament works with committees. It cannot be that each time the committee is given work to do, it passes such responsibilities to some other outside body. That would be illegal and untenable. I just wanted to give comfort to the committee in relation to that assertion, that the basic problem with the composition of the committee for the purposes of doing the work that it's charged with. Yeah.
Okay, and then on the just cause?
The legal representative for the affected members stated that the absence for the affected members arises from their reluctance or refusal to legitimize a process that they feel, one, is procedurally unfair, and two, is substantively unfair. The The procedural unfairness, of course, arises from the complaints as set out in the letter that he referred to, which are very much connected to the legal representations and whether or not this committee has predetermined issues. The question of legal representation doesn't arise because the committee seems to me has accepted that they may be assisted in this proceeding by legal external legal representation. The question of the written representation not being fairly considered as they complained in the letter also that doesn't arise because one, there were no written representations that were submitted, and two, to the extent that the correspondence suffices as such written representations, this committee today has spent the whole day considering precisely the issues that have been raised in those representations. So in my view, issues of procedural unfairness don't arise at all because the process, as I mentioned earlier, that has been followed thus far complies with the schedule. And the manner in which the committee has in fact heard out both sides of the stories today negates, in my view, assertions of procedural fairness in the conduct of this proceeding thus far. So to the extent that there's an argument that there's just cause, the committee is of course going to form its own view that there is just cause for the absence. I don't believe that there's just cause for the absence for the reason that the procedural complaints raised for the absence are unfounded, and secondly, the substantive reasons that are made and the demands that follow from those substantive reasons, Chair, which are connected to the legality of this committee and appointing a judge, I believe the committee has already made a decision on that.
Okay. I think we're going to, I don't know whether, adjourn maybe around 1, then come back at 2, and proceed. Should we have it 1 hour or 45 minutes, hour break? Maybe come back at 1:45. At 1:45 to proceed with this hearing as decided by the committee, so that is that. So we have been addressed on the issue of just cause issue. And the view of the initiator is that there is no just cause why the church members are not here. They should have been here. They should have come to argue their case here and raise the issues that they wanted to raise, which their legal representative has raised and the committee has not agreed that there's going to be prejudice, that this committee is not properly constituted or the hearings are unlawful and so forth. So we will then proceed when we come back after lunch. Honorable Ndlozi, before we break, fully adjourn for lunch. Or maybe let's first allow the counsel for the church group.
Thank you very much, Chair. In light of the decision that has been taken by yourself and dissent to by the Honourable Ndlozi, I am instructed by my client, the economic freedom fighters, including the affected members, to place on record that the Act and Rules of Parliament will be imminently challenged as the basis upon which this proceeding may proceed, and that obviously those papers will be served on Parliament and you yourself as the chair of the committee in due course. And further, as a consequence of that, may I, together with my instructing attorney, be given leave to not attend the hearing as it continues after lunch, because we are instructed to withdraw from these proceedings and not legitimate then. I want to place both those things on record and not just be accused of walking out.
Alright, no, that's fine.
Thank you very much, Chair.
That's fine. We won't accuse you of walking out. you are not required to be here through a subpoena. So you are more than welcome to be excused, counsel. Honorable Johnson.
Thanks, Chair. The second issue is the full issue. The EFF, once you say you accept legal representation, it is because you accept that they are here. And then you can't then say they are not here and they don't have a just cause.
Are they here? Are they here?
No, listen patiently.
Okay.
We want a legal representation. We accept legal representation. Legal representation leads on their behalf. So the question of their absence does not arise. They are here through their legal representative because you accepted that. So only if they were not here would we have to say there's no just cause for them not being here. Do I make sense? So we started, the conversation was, the members are not here, and they've sent a legal representation, but they've not done a representation for that legal representation.
Okay.
Then we argued, no, we accept the legal representation.
Okay.
So you can't then say, but they are not here.
Okay.
The EFF is here.
No.
There they are sitting there.
No.
Yes.
Okay. Let's fine.
We are going to proceed. Let me finish my point.
All right. Finish your point so that we can.
We are going to proceed because they are withdrawing. When the proceedings began, the EFF was here through their legal representatives, and they are withdrawing because they don't agree with the tribe. The question of absence does not arise.
Okay, I think
they were here. They are withdrawing, so we are
proceeding. All right, honorable Joseph. I think let's say that is your view.
Okay,
that is your view. But the correct position is that the members charged are required to be physically present in these proceedings. Just the same way as you are charged, you are supposed to appear in court. Your representative don't appear on your behalf. You physically present yourself.
In a civil matter, it's not
true. Okay, alright. That's fine.
It's
fine. Let's say that is your view. The view is that they were supposed to be physically here. We have accepted that if they do participate, they are entitled to legal representation. That one we have done, we have handled.
Chairperson, can you show me in the rule why it says they are supposed to be physically here? Where in the rule? We can't rule like that.
But now you are arguing.
The EFF participated.
You know it's against the rules.
They did not ignore the proceedings.
What you are doing, you know, is against the rules. You are not supposed to argue with the chair. You have made your point. We have agreed that is your view. But okay, we are adjourning is now 13:01. It's gonna be for about 45 minutes. At 1:45, we are proceeding. But counsel for the EFF members has indicated that they would like to be excused, and I think you are more than welcome to be excused. We'll be proceeding at 1:45. This hearing is adjourned for now, for lunch. Thank you.